Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Amen. Amen. It's good to see all y'all out on a Wednesday night. Yeah. I know. You must have been convicted by Sunday's message. It's not about you. Yeah, right. Well, welcome. Glad you're here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen, brother. I like when Pastor Steve's here. He helps you preach really good. Woohoo! Amen. So, a friend of mine went on a mission trip a few years back, and she was telling me this story. And a lady that she was with on the mission trip was there alone without her husband, and her husband had gotten into a big fight. And so she was on this mission trip. Her and her husband just weren't together at that time. And she said they were walking someplace, and one of the other men that were on the mission trip came up and just kind of like brushed her like this. And then she said, all of a sudden her mind started turning. And she said, oh, isn't this interesting? And she began talking with him. She began sidling up to him and opening up to him. And they ended up having an affair. Well, she repented, and her husband and her, they were able to save their marriage. Praise God. But here's what I learned from that is that if you give Satan an inch, he's going to take it. Because Satan, see, he's looking for that in. He's looking for that crack. And if he can expose your crack, he's going to rip you wide open. No pun intended. During this next season, pay attention. During the next season, God is activating Faith and Victory people for a greater work. Yes. And because God is activating his people for work, Satan is trying to deactivate us. Satan is trying to isolate God's people. As he's trying to activate us, Satan is trying to do the opposite of that. And what the Lord revealed to me is that there is a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming. And there's signs and wonders and miracles that's coming. There's a great thing that's coming for God's people. And so these things are coming. Satan is trying to keep us in a place where we can't receive those things. Yeah. So he wants to isolate God's people. And literally, I saw him trying to keep God's people in a fetal position. Yeah. Where we cannot be used. Where we're completely ineffective. The Lord said, we are in a season of suddenly. That God is going to do things suddenly. And he says, because I'm working suddenly, my people need to be ready. You need to be ready for when God moves. You need to be prepared for that suddenly thing that's coming. Now, God had shown me this, and you know, I've read the Bible through, I can't tell you how many times I've read the Bible in my 20 plus years of serving God. I've read it through and through and through and studied and stuff. And you know, there's certain things you just never see. And I was in the book of Joshua, and God says, pay attention, Crystal, pay attention. And as I'm reading this, it's the story of Rahab. And if you remember the story of Rahab, the two spies came in to spy out Jericho. And Rahab took them in, right? And she said, because I have taken you in before you guys destroy Jericho, because I know you're going to destroy Jericho, save my family. And the spies said, we will do this, but put that red cord, put that scarlet thread outside your window, and we will know that you are the ones that we need to save. Right? And so she hid them and they went on their way. What I never noticed before is that as soon as the spies left, she put out her cord. And when you read further, it wasn't for another month until they came back to Jericho. She was ready. She was prepared. She didn't know at what time God was coming. She didn't know at one time she was ready at the ready at all time. That cord was hanging out as soon as the spies left. I had to go back and reread it. And I said, yeah, she put it out. And literally it wasn't for a month because they had to pass over the Jordan. They had to be circumcised. Hello. Took a while for those men to feel better. They had some time in there before they came back to Jericho. But she was ready. And God said, like Rahab, you need to be ready when God speaks. As soon as I tell you to do something, you need to do it because I'm coming suddenly. Yes. These things are coming suddenly, and if you're not ready, if you're not prepared, you're going to miss it. Yep. Going to miss that great move of God in your life. You're going to miss it. We're going to be in 1 Peter 5:8 tonight. And it says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So I broke this down for you. Your enemy seeks whom he may devour. See, he is looking for your crack. He is looking for that fault in you. He's looking for a way in, and guess what? He's patient. He's patient. He will sit back and he will watch you until your crack's exposed. He don't have anywhere to be. He'll sit back and watch. And as soon as it is, he's going to come rushing in. Now I'm going to break this down here. Be sober, be vigilant. Thank you. This speaks of immediate attention. Give immediate attention to this. It's a sudden cry of warning of a shepherd who spies the lion prowling around the flock in the darkness while the guardians of the flock lie drowsy and secure. Be sober. Keep your appetites and passions under proper restraint. Be vigilant. Watchful against the subtle and malicious designs of your spiritual enemy. He walks about as a roaring lion. This epithet is not only added to lend terror to the description, but the roaring implies that he is hungry and determined. Yes. He is hungry and he is determined. He walks about. Now, Peter's not calling attention to the fact that Satan is always prowling about, but he is warning the sleeping shepherds that he is especially doing so now. It's a present word. He says, right now he's doing this. Right now in your circumstances, he's looking for a way in. Right now, he's looking to pick you off here and there. Right now, he says. He seeks whom he may devour. This means that Satan is eyeing all the Christians in turn to see which one has his best chance of picking off. He's not just roaming about. He's specific. He's looking. He says, which one can I pick off? Yes. Which one am I going to get? Yeah. Which one is the weakness? Which one has their crack exposed? Which one am I going to get? He's determined. He's not merely stalking forth vaguely to pray. He's looking. He's looking at you carefully. If you are not secure in your identity in Christ, you will have a tough time. That's right. Satan is seeking to isolate God's people so that he can keep you from fulfilling your purpose. That's right. He doesn't want you to do what God asks you to do. He doesn't want you to fulfill your purpose. So he's seeking that. And every single one of you has a calling and a purpose for your life. Yeah, that's true. And Satan does not want you to do what God's asked you to do. He wants to keep you in a position where you will do nothing. And you may still be saved and do nothing. And he says, fine, you're doing nothing, so I'm good with that.
That's good.
You're doing nothing. He don't care. He doesn't care if you're doing nothing. If Satan can get in your crack, he will blow you wide open and he will run all over you. If there is a crack in us, make no mistake, the devil will find it. He will find it. So what do? We've got to cover our crack.
Yes.
So there was a few things that the Lord showed me that we need to be aware of. Now the first one is the lies of the enemy. We need to be aware of the lies of the enemy. And I wrote some things down. And here's the lie. You are not wanted and you are not needed. The truth is you are wanted and you're needed. The lie is nobody likes you anyway. The truth is some may not like you, but not all. The lie is you are not qualified. But the truth is you don't have to be qualified. You just got to be willing. The lie is there's no place for you here. The truth is there's place for you here.
That's true, man.
The lie is you can't do anything right. The truth is you do lots of things right.
True.
You don't do everything wrong. You do lots of things right. The lie is you have nothing to offer. The truth is you have a lot to offer. The lie is you can't trust God or the church. The truth is, he's the only one you can trust, and you can trust his body.
Yes.
The lie is the word of God is not true. The truth is, the word of God is absolute truth.
Yes.
The lie is, Satan is stronger than God. The truth is, Satan is not even equal with God. He's a created being. The lie is Satan is not real, he's not a threat. The truth is Satan is real and he's a threat.
Yeah, it's true.
The lie says God just wants you to be happy. The truth is God wants you to grow. He wants you to grow and be changed. And that happens through the fire. The lie is church is not important. The truth is, church is the body of Jesus. It's very important.
Yeah.
The lie is, you have plenty of time to obey God. The truth is, your life can be taken at any time.
It's true.
The lie is, there's no judgment. The truth is, there's a final judgment.
It's true.
There's a final judgment for the believer. Yes, there's a believer's judgment. The lie is, God hates me. The truth is, you are the apple of God's eye.
Yes.
The lie says, God doesn't heal anymore and he would never heal me anyway. The truth is, God still heals.
Yes.
God still delivers. God still restores. God still moves in miraculous ways.
Yes.
God still opens the water so you can pass through.
Yes.
He still does it. He's still a miraculous God.
Yes.
The lie says I have to be perfect. The truth is, folks, nobody expects you to be perfect. Not here anyways. Maybe at your home, maybe on your work, but I'll tell you what, not here. Nobody expects you to be perfect. The lie says nothing I do matters. The truth is, you matter.
Yes.
You matter. You know, and I can tell you all day long what the truth is, but until you get into the Word of God and find out what God says about you for yourself, you're going to continue to believe the lie.
That's right.
Folks, Satan is good at lying.
Yes.
John 8:44 says, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here, and he's telling them, he says, you're of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do, he was a murderer from the beginning and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Yes.
See, Satan desires that you live a selfish, miserable, lonely life.
That's right.
And if he can keep you selfish, miserable, and lonely, folks, he's done his job. He's done his job. He makes you ineffective. You have got to learn to recognize the lies of the enemy. You have to know what God says about you.
That's right.
I remember in my old church when I got saved, and because of my past and the things that I had went through, and you know, and some of y'all know my past, and you know, I was married over the phone when I was 19. You know, I forget that sometimes because I've been married for 18 years to my husband. But when I was 19, I got married over the phone. And so because I had been divorced, the whole church told me I could never get married again. Because I had been divorced, they told me I could never be used in the ministry. They told me I could never preach the word of God. And I thought, well, Pastor Jay just posted my favorite scripture today. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things become new. And I would read that and I say, well, God said all things, not some, not most, not all things in someone else's life, but not your life, Crystal. All things. And so I chose to believe God's word over what people told me. Because, folks, Satan will use well-meaning Christians. He does it all the time. They mean well. But know the word of God for yourself. Know what God says about you. Know what God says about your life. Know what God says.
Yes.
And that's what matters. Oh, yeah. My kids don't know that. So they will someday, but they don't know that. That's okay. Sorry.
Well,
I forget, literally. You're like, what are the kids don't know? Okay.
You mean like Santa?
I know Santa, yeah. Now, the next thing we need to be aware of is oppression. And what the Lord spoke to me specifically about oppression is the spirit of fear. Because fear will let in the devil. Hebrews 2:15, and it's talking about Jesus. He says, and he releases those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. When we still have fear, we are still oppressed.
That's right.
We are still in bondage. And Jesus says, I released you from that. But you're going to have to do some work. Fear is a spirit and it is bondage. Fear of death, fear of loss, fear of the unknown. There's a fear for almost everything. If you have some kind of fear in your life, Satan will find it. Mark my words right now. If you have any fear in your life, Satan will find it and he will expose it. Fear is a spirit. It is not of God.
Amen.
That's true. How many of y'all know that new song that's out, Tell Your Heart to Beat Again? Yeah. Have you guys heard that song? Well, and I was listening to the story behind it, right? It's the one that says, Tell Your Heart to Beat Again, blah, 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 blah. I only know Tell Your Heart to Beat Again. Tell your heart to beat again. And so anyways, the guy was telling the story, and he was his pastor had a world-renowned surgeon in his congregation. And so as the pastor and the surgeon had got to know each other, he kept asking that surgeon, can I sit in on the heart surgery? And so finally the surgeon told the pastor that he could sit in on heart surgery. And so the pastor's telling the story, and he said he was sitting in on this heart surgery, and the woman on the table who was having heart surgery, her heart had stopped. And so the doctor tried everything he could, right? He's massaging it, he's flicking it, whatever they do to make it beat. And the pastor says, and it wasn't coming back. And he goes, and I heard him, and I watched the doctor lean down in this woman's ear, and he says, ma'am, you need to tell your heart to beat. And her heart started to beat. And he said, the story behind that song was that God has given us everything we need.
Yes.
Everything we need. One of my favorite scriptures is 2 Peter 1:3, and it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called us by his own glory and goodness.
Amen.
He has given us everything we need. So when we come up against fear, there's nothing that you have to do or go or anything like that. God says, I've already done it. I've already given you everything you need to overcome that.
Amen.
You know, we want to run and listen. We want to run and go get on all these medications and, you know, all this sort of stuff. And I will tell you that was me. And ask my husband, we had some bad years in our marriage because I had such horrible panic attacks and anxiety. It was bad. It was crippling. A lot of it was from my past, from the way I grew up, the things I went through. And I had this huge spirit of fear. And it was hard. It was a hard time. I had a huge spirit of fear. There were things in my life that were so traumatic, I had blocked them. I never thought repressed memories was a real thing. I thought, oh, that's a lie. But I had done that. I had repressed memories. And so when all of this stuff came out, folks, I'm telling you, when I had fear, it was bad. And I couldn't sleep. I had panic attacks. I don't know how many times we were in the ER. Ugh, yeah. It was really bad, and I didn't overcome it until I got serious about overcoming that spirit of fear.
Amen.
And I ran around, I did what everybody told me to do, and I went to a therapist, and I got on drugs, and I did this and this, and it was not going away, because fear is a spirit. Fear is a spirit. And I could not overcome it until I got serious about overcoming it. If you read my daily word today, I was talking about crash diets, right? And a lot of people will go on a crash diet. It's like they get to a point where I can't take anymore. I got to lose weight. They go on a crash diet. But as soon as they start losing weight, they start feeling better. They go back to eating the same way that they did. It happens all the time. And it's because they haven't made that lifestyle change. Well, people do that in the spiritual.
Yep. Yep.
Something's wrong, something's going on, and they say, well, I got to make some changes. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to start praying. And then as soon as things start feeling better, getting better, they go back.
Yeah.
See, I had to get serious about that spirit of fear.
Yeah.
I had to get serious about it. And when I got serious about it, that's when it finally left me. That's when I got victory over it. And it wasn't anything. Listen, I tried everything. And God's like, when are you going to get serious about this, Crystal? When are you just going to buckle down and come against it by the word and the blood of the Lamb? When are you going to get serious about overcoming that thing in your life? And I was like, oh man, here we go. And it's a battle. It's a battle. But he has given us everything we need.
Amen, that's right.
It's all there. All the tools are there, right? Sometimes you got to tell your heart to beat.
Yes.
It's all there.
That's good.
We just got to activate it.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. The third thing I have is bondage to sin. Now, Joshua 7 verses 10 through 12. The Lord is talking to Joshua here. And now Joshua had just went to a battle, and God told him, you're going to go fight all these battles. You're going to win every battle, right? God told him that. He said, you're going to go, and I'm not going to fail you. You're going to win all these battles, and you're going to take the promised land, and I'm going to be with you as I was with Moses. And so they just went to this battle, and they just lost. And so Joshua is crying out to God, And listen to this, I love it, because the Lord says to Joshua, get up. Why are you lying on your face? And I hear that because Joshua's like, oh, God, why'd you do this? And he's ripping, and God's like, wait a minute, Joshua, you need to get up.
Yeah.
Why are you lying on your face? Get up. Verse 11, he says, Israel has sinned, and they have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have taken some of the cursed things, and they have stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, verse 12, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you. And what the Lord told me, he says, Crystal, you will never put the enemy to flight while you're holding on to sin. Ain't going to happen. You will never put the enemy to flight as long as you're holding on to sin in your life. That Satan's like, uh-uh, you got a crack there. You're disobeying God. I ain't leaving you alone.
Yeah.
And you're not going to put him to flight. You're not going to have victory. I'll share with you a little story. I had struggled with drugs and alcohol when I was young. And when I came to the Lord had really taken that away from me. And so I didn't drink any alcohol for a long time. Well, when my panic started, when my anxiety started, I started drinking a glass of wine to calm my nerves, right? And the Lord said, Crystal, that's not for you. Do not touch it. Mm-hmm. And I justified it in my mind because I wasn't getting drunk. I wasn't at the bars partying. I was drinking a glass of wine. And so I was justifying it before God. And I said, Lord, I'm just drinking a glass of wine. He said, I don't care. I told you, don't touch it. I don't want you to even have one little drop. It's not for you. You need to cleanse it out of your life. And this, folks, this went on for about 2 years where I was fighting with God on this, and I would do well for months at a time. I'd be like, okay, I got it, God. I hear you. But that anxiety would come back, that fear would come back, and I'd run to that wine, right? And I'd grab that, oh, I need that. It calms me. It calms my nerves, Lord. It calms me. And God's like, uh-uh. You're never putting the enemy to flight as long as you disobey me. And the thing that I was trying to use to get rid of that was the very thing that was causing that. Lord's like, uh-uh, this is not working. It's not working for you. You're never going to put the enemy to flight in your life if you're holding on to sin. That's not how it works. You have to put away that sin. You have to put it away completely if you want victory in this life. Otherwise, Satan's going to continue to attack you. And then you'll be like Joshua, oh God, what do we do? And he's like, there's sin in your camp. There's sin in your camp. Put it away from you. If you want to have victory over the enemy, you got to put that stuff away. You got to get rid of it. You can't hold on to it. If God has told you something, you need to do it. I don't care what it looks like. If he says, don't go there, then don't go there. And you're like, well, that's not really sin, God. And he says, well, for you it is, because I told you not to do that. See, we justify things in our mind. That's not sin, God. Well, God told you not to go to the car wash. Don't go to the car wash. Now, that's not for everybody. You don't have to go around telling everybody, don't go to the car wash. No, that's word for you. You don't go to the car wash because there's something there that God doesn't want you to have. Okay? The last thing the Lord spoke to me about is offenses. Offenses. So serious is the subject of offenses that Jesus pronounces a solemn woe against those by whom the offense comes. Matthew 18:7, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. Right? Verse 6, he said, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Paul also weighs in on the subject. He writes about avoiding strife and offense Right? 1 Corinthians 8:13, he said, if food makes my brother stumble and offends him, I will never eat meat again, lest I make my brother to stumble. So he says, we need to strive to avoid offense. Strive to avoid giving an offense and receiving an offense. Both. Giving an offense and receiving an offense. Why? Because offense can lead to bitterness and hatred. It leads to bitterness and hatred. 1 John 3:15 says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So if we don't deal with those offenses, bitterness creeps in. Unforgiveness creeps in. Hatred creeps in. We got to deal with those offenses, folks. It opens a crack. It opens a crack. Offenses usually occur when someone says something to us too harshly, or at least we interpret it that way. It can and does occur when we perceive that we've been ignored, overlooked, or given a responsibility that we don't want. We become offended when we are blamed for something we did not do, or on the other hand, when we do not receive credit for something we did do. We may be offended when someone has been inconsiderate or thoughtless, or has used us for their own purposes. Okay, the ways of being offended are endless. They're countless. For some of us, right, someone can look at you wrong and you're offended. We have to learn to recognize that these are tactics of the enemy. And if you're easily offended, you need to pray and ask God to get some thick skin. And you need to learn to forgive. You have to learn to forgive. You have to. We cannot take on other people's offenses. I think us women are good at that. When my son was in elementary school, I had joined the PTA, and PTA, man, talk about talking and gossip. Woo! So I joined the PTA, and the president that year, I had never met her, but I mean, some of the girls would talk so bad about her and stuff. I'm like, gosh, she must be a horrible person. Oh my goodness, all this sort of stuff. And it wasn't till the next year that I met her. And then over the course of the next year, her son and my son became friends, and I really got to know her really well. And I thought, man, I'm so glad that I did not listen to those women. Because people will try to turn your ear, and they want you to take on their offense because they want you to side with them. They do. They want you to side with them. They're like, come here, let me tell you about them and why you shouldn't like them. That way I'm justified in my actions because you don't like them. We don't like them together, right? That unity. We're together. We don't like them together, right? We can't take on other people's offenses. You got to be quick to forgive. And you got to recognize those offenses. Right? And recognize those. And like I said, if you're a person that's easily offended, recognize it in yourself and ask the Lord to help you with that. Lord, help me with that. Help me to recognize that offense in me, Lord, and help me to overcome that in the name of Jesus, because he has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. So he gives us everything we need to overcome that. We have to recognize. That's why I say, listen, that crack can be exposed. And we have to recognize those attacks of the enemy because he is seeking whom he may devour. He's seeking to devour you, okay? So how do we cover our crack? James 4:7 tells us, therefore submit to God, period. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, if you notice, a lot of scripture is like predicated on something before something. There's something you do before something else happens, right? You know, a lot of people, they're trying to tell the devil to flee. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get out of my life. But they haven't submitted to God. That's the first part. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. You have to submit to God first.
Yes. Yeah.
You can't resist the devil and he's going to flee if you're not submitted to God.
Yes.
It doesn't work that way. You got to submit to God first. And then you're able to resist the devil and he will flee.
Yes.
He's not going to flee if you're not submitted to God. Now, it's interesting in this, submit yourselves therefore to God. This is a military term. In the Greek language, it's a military term. And it says, voluntarily and freely, and that not only in a way of obedience to all his commands, but in a way of humility and sense of your weakness and emptiness and need of his grace. Submit to God as supreme master. It's a military term, as if in the military you would submit to your authority. He's saying submit to your authority.
Yes.
Submit to that authority of God. Submit to him as the master of your life. Submit.
Amen.
And people don't like that word anymore.
No.
Submit.
Yeah.
Submit to God as that master and general of your life. He says, therefore, both because of the danger of pride... Right? Because God resists the proud. But also the benefit that comes by humility. He gives grace to the humble.
Yes.
So it's twofold. He says, therefore, submit to God. Right? And in humility, it's that humbling yourself before God that says, God, I am yours. I am your servant. I cannot do it without you.
Yes.
That's the humility. He says, God, I cannot do it without you. I need you in my life. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. I need you to show me.
Yes.
Come humbly before him. Exposing your weaknesses to him. God, I cannot do this in my own strength, but in his strength, you can.
Yes.
Say, God, I am weak. I am weak, but he is strong.
Amen.
That's that humbling, right? That pride, if you're a prideful person, you know, oh, I can do this, I'm strong, I can do this, I got this, and that's not what God says. God says, humble yourself before me.
Yes.
In weakness.
Amen.
He says, resist. Resist the devil. It's this idea of resist by faith, but also in the putting on of your spiritual armor. These are military terms. So it's not just resist and flee. It's a putting on of that armor. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of loins with the belt of truth. Shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Give me the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit. Right? It's not just by faith resisting. It's the putting on of the armor resisting.
Yes.
It's the putting on of the armor to resist him. To not comply with his motions and temptations. So I'm not, I know your schemes, devil, and I'm not going there.
Yes.
I recognize that lie. I recognize that offense. I recognize that sin. I recognize that temptation, and I'm not going there.
Yes.
Resist the devil. Right? As a military term, it's talking about, and if you look in James earlier, he's talking about strife and contention and people and stuff and who we may have, who we may contend with and who we may not. That's what James is talking about, right? So you don't contend with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You don't contend with God. You contend with the devil.
Yes.
That we make warfare with him. That's why I say, hence the part of resist by faith, but at the same time, you got to put on that armor. Because we're in a war with the devil. We're contending with him.
Yes.
It's a contending with him. He's our great enemy. We're in open war with the devil. Well, he's declared war on you, so let's just put it that way. You can lay there and just let him run all over if you want, because he's declared war on you. I'll put it that way. Hope that changes a little bit. Like, I'm not in war with the devil. Well, you're in a war whether or not you know it. He's at war with you. So you have to contend with him. Resist the devil, and he will flee. As this particular assault in which you resist him, and though he return again and tempt you again, yet you still resist, he will still be overcome, for you are never conquered so long as you do not consent. It's that you resist and you continue to resist. You contend and you continue to contend. And if he comes against you, you come at him. And soon he's going to leave you alone in that area where you continue to fight him. And he'll stand back for a while and watch and say, hey, where's my next crack? But he'll eventually leave you alone in that one area as long as you contend with him. And he will never overcome you as long as you contend against him. Resist the devil and he will flee. So cover your crack, okay? Cover your cracks. Be alert. Be aware of Satan's devices. The Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. And I always say we should not be ignorant of his devices. Yeah. If we're ignorant, it's because we don't know our word. If we're not recognizing the lies, if we're not recognizing the bondage, the temptations, the sin, if we're not recognizing those things, because the Bible says we should be. He says, you are aware of the schemes of the devil. We should be aware of the schemes of the devil. Amen. Recognize those things in your life. Don't give him a crack. Don't give the devil an inch. Don't give him anything to play with. He don't play. No, he will come in and he will destroy. Okay? Cover your crack. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Yeah. Oh, Russ is going to play while we pray. Father God, Lord, I just thank you for this word tonight, Father. Lord, and I ask you to come right now, Father, and that you would speak to every one of us, God. And if we have anything exposed, Lord, that you would show it to us, Father, and teach us how to overcome in Jesus' name. Show us, Lord, show us those areas that need to be covered, Father. Show us that weakness that needs to be covered, Father God. Lord, we thank you that you have given us everything we need, Lord. You've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given us the Word of God. You've given us the blood of the Lamb. You've given us the name of Jesus that is above every name. There is power in the name of Jesus. Father, we just come before you, Lord, as a collective body, and we ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins, Father God. And as you forgive us, let us forgive others that have done anything against us, Father God. If there's any offense, if there's any unforgiveness, Father, tonight let it be dealt with. Let it be completely wiped away, Father God. As you have wiped away our debt, let us wipe away others' debts. And not hold it against them, Father God. Lord, thank you for your healing power tonight, God. Thank you for healing our hearts. Thank you for healing our minds. Thank you for healing our bodies, Father. We thank you for this word, God. And I pray that we bring forth good seed, Father God. That we bring forth good fruit for your kingdom, Lord. Let us be ready, God. Let us be ready with that red scarlet cord hanging out our window, Father, that we're ready when you move mightily in our life, God. Lord, we just praise you. We thank you. We glorify your holy name, Lord. We give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. We thank you, Lord. We lift all things up unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. Get your kids. I said get your